Welcome to the Burgundy Blues Podcast, a show dedicated to our fantasy football league as we continue our journey to obtain the coveted Burgundy Jacket. I am Mackenzie Smith, joined tonight by Colton Sullivan and Jordan Clark. Week 6 in the books. How are you guys doing?
Alive and wonderful.
I am alive and okay.
I'm still celebrating my new sober lifestyle of not starting out the podcast with a beer because I had another win this week.
I was going to ask where the Pepsi was
tonight.
Pepsi actually sent me a cease and desist order after they listened to the podcast, and they told me that their product was not endorsed or was a non-endorsable product. So they actually said that if I used their product name in another publication, that they would sue me for some wrongdoing there. So
we don't want that.
No, so we definitely don't want that. So I decided that I would leave the unnamed Pepsi Cola product out of this.
Appreciate it. No legal trouble here. So Jordan, how are you feeling? It's been a while since you've been on the show.
I took my first L since week one, so it's rough, but it is what it is.
Yeah. Be rough.
We'll talk more about that in the matchup recaps. But yeah,
man, how's it feel for me to have a better record than you, and to have 200 less points scored against me?
I saw that yesterday. I was like, this is crazy. I'm in the. This is fantasy football for you, man.
Jordan, you have scored the most points in the league, 823. Points against 777. I have a better record at 5-1 with 668 points scored and 556 against.
Yep.
So I've got some room to take some losses, and I'm okay with that. So I don't know. I don't know what'll happen this week, but yeah. Oh, one thing we did not really go over in pre-show. We had some trades this week.
We did.
Let's see here. We did have trades for. We haven't had a trade in like 3 weeks, man. So first up, I don't have who made these. I just have who the trades were. So John Brown for Alshon Jeffrey. Who was it? Who would that go to?
That was Austin and Antoine. I think Austin got Alshon and Antoine got John Brown. Maybe.
I think so.
Yeah, because Antoine is rolling with the entire Buffalo Bills right now.
Yeah. He is the Buffalo Bills.
So right, I think now that's one of those trades. It's kind of odd to me just because, not because it's lopsided one way or the other, but because it's a position, a wide receiver for a wide receiver, fairly similar. So it's, you know, it just comes down to what your preference is on which player you want and believe in.
Yeah, exactly. And for me, I believe in John Brown because of this ridiculous schedule for the next 5 weeks. Miami, Philadelphia, awful secondary, Washington, Cleveland, Miami, and then they go to Denver. So if Josh Allen can be a mediocre quarterback, John Brown is going to have some days.
Yeah. And then, you know, Jeffrey, obviously Austin, being the Philadelphia fan that he is.
Yeah, I guess that's where he came from.
He did good for him Sunday with 18 points, but we'll talk about later. Austin's team as a whole didn't do that great, but I mean, he's someone I think a lot of the receivers, I think the Eagles receiving core is a lot similar to Patriots or the Chiefs, where it's just kind of hard to know which one is going to have the good week that week.
Right. Colton, how do you feel about Alshon Jeffrey?
I think Alshon's good. I know Diggins is what I would call an Eagles fanatic. I am just an Eagles fan. He knows that team inside and out way more than what I do. I think if you're looking for reliability, Alshon's probably your most reliable guy. And then you've got probably Nelson Agholor somewhere else right there. And then, of course, Zach Ertz is always, you know, always a threat. And then you've got me down here at the bottom of the totem pole that's still holding on to DeSean Jackson, who hasn't played since like week two.
Yeah, that was a second trade of the year in week one, D-Jax for Aaron Jones.
I've missed out on like 70 points from Aaron Jones.
D-Jacks for Aaron Jones. You're chasing those points like I was chasing Sammy Watkins, and we see where that's at right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, me and you are both. The only difference is your guy's got a hamstring injury and my guy's got some kind of abdominal strain.
Oh, it feels real bad.
I mean, at this point, I would take Sammy Watkins missing three games or two games over D-Jacks missing potentially five with an abdominal strain.
Right, but DeSean Jackson can catch the ball. So
he can catch the ball, and he is still stupid fast to be 31 years old or whatever he is.
Right.
Dude has not really missed a beat.
So I like the John Brown side. I think it's a pretty even trade for the rest of the season, but for the next 5 weeks, it's all John Brown for this trade. So pretty good. I like it. And next up, Jordan, I think you were in this trade.
Yep.
Right? Aaron yep. Rodgers, Bonifan. Say that right?
See, I dropped him. He didn't get traded. He was just a drop to make room for my waiver.
I was about to say, is he the guy that stole all of Sony's touchdowns last week?
No.
He's actually with the Panthers, isn't he?
Yeah.
What's that guy's name?
I can't remember that. Bolden, I think it was something Bolden.
It was a longer name. I don't know.
No, Bolden was the one that got the rushing touchdowns when we were on the podcast last week.
Right. That sucked. Yeah. So not a part of that trade. I need to take that off the docket here because he was just a drop because you got two players.
Yeah.
You got Emmanuel Sanders and Golden Tate from Jay Bell.
I've been trying to trade Aaron Rodgers specifically. I tried to trade him to Colton, we've talked about in the past, and I tried Jay Bell. I don't know why, but Jay Bell he's not a Packers fan, but I look at him, I see a Packers fan. He looks like a Packers fan.
I do always, like, if you ask me, like, what's a guest team? What team is he like? I'm like, he likes the Packers, for sure.
Exactly.
Like,
that's just so I don't know why, but in my head, I'm like, I need to trade Aaron Rodgers to Jay Bell. And also, Jay Bell needs a quarterback. You know, a few weeks ago, I tried. He's like, no, I'm going to roll with Jared Goff for a little while, and we see how that went. So last week, he initiated it this time, and he offered Rodgers for, I think maybe Golden Tate just straight up or something, and but I felt like I was good. I'm not good at receivers, but I had plenty of receivers. Didn't need two more or one more. But I sent a trade, and I think I canceled it. We went back and forth for a while. I think I tried to get one of his running backs. Anyway, then we're watching the game Thursday, or I'm watching the game Thursday, and, you know, Golden Tate has that big touchdown. Mm-hmm. So he's like, you still wanted that trade? I was like, well, is it seriously on the table? He said, maybe. So the next day, you know, I do like Emmanuel Sanders. He has some decent upside. I mean, the Broncos offense is not that great, but and then Golden Tate's going to be number one target there, other than Ingram. So that's a good upside as well. And I just don't need to roster two quarterbacks. And Aaron Rodgers has been sitting on my bench. I played him the first week when he didn't do that great, and then I played him when Brady played the Bills, which was a good play. But other than that, he's just taken up a bench spot that I could be using mm-hmm. for someone else. So I'm glad. I hope he has a better season than what he has been. I don't dislike Aaron Rodgers, but I just don't like rostering two quarterbacks when I don't need to. I'll just stream somebody on the bye week for the Patriots coming up in a few weeks and then be good to go after that. So I feel like I like the trade. I hope Aaron Rodgers does well. I didn't even think about me and Jay Bell going up against each other this week, so I hope he doesn't do good this week. But after that,
he can do good any other week besides us.
Exactly.
I wanted to offer Logan some trades, but I was just like, man, I just really don't want to play against my own players this week. So whether he accepts it or not, the Packers are just so banged up right now.
It's funny because they continue to win, but they are just they're just.
That is what Aaron Rodgers does. Is he just scares you to death for the entire game and then decides to show up and play football and put up a ton of points.
I know, not to interrupt you there, I know people say that the Packers didn't necessarily deserve to win this week. And I think that, in a sense, I think that is true. It was very bad calls on those penalties. But at the same time, the Lions were in the red zone like, what, three or four times, and they didn't turn it into any touchdowns of those times?
Yeah, I mean, they kick like three or four or however many field goals.
They kicked five field goals.
Five field goals. So yes. I get that argument, but at the same time, it's either way. I mean, you could say the Lions, if they score six instead of three there, they win the game, or if the officials call better, then they win the game.
And the one thing that I had that I was going to really kind of use as a point on that, their offense really hadn't done anything for the majority of the game as far as, like, scoring drives. So even if they let Jamal Williams run that touchdown in like they were planning on doing, and he doesn't sit down on the 1 yard line and they run the clock and kick a field goal, if he goes in and scores, you've got 60 seconds for the Lions to drive the field and score a touchdown. And that's something that they were unable to do aside from like the first quarter. So I still don't think that the outcome would have been the same or would have been different, but they at least would have had a chance to had it not been for that penalty.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, so we'll see, man. Jordan, I think that you are on the upside of that, but we'll see how it goes. Big money spent this week. I thought that I could just roll over Wednesday morning and pick up the Steelers defense for next week, but apparently you got to spend $27.
Because apparently the 12 that I put on them was not enough, and whenever I saw that I did not get them for 12, I was not that upset about it.
Also, Forrest, you hurting for a kicker, man? $25 for Matt Prater.
Forrest is chasing them points, man.
Come on.
He wants some of those five field goals that they kicked this week against Green Bay.
I guess so, dude. That's really all the big money spent. I'm trying not to spend anything because that's
the way it's looking for me and the way that I bid on stuff. I'm going to end the season with $200.
Yeah. It's time to budget.
Oh, man. There easily could be one of the big running backs get injured, and then Colton, you're going to be sitting there with $100, $150 you can throw down on the backup or something.
Yeah, no, because if that happens, I'm going to put everything on it. I'm going to put all 75 of my dollars.
I know that I got to bid over 75 to beat McKinney.
If you bid 76, you win from me. Yeah, man. So, budget time. All right. Well, let's see what our old pal.
I got a fake punt.
Man, they failed.
Oh, live?
It failed. And it failed.
That sucks. Who's that? That's some Sean McVay stuff that they're trying to pull. Scary Harry, what's up, man? Let's see what this guy has been up to this week.
Scary Harry, calling in once again. 300 seconds. Y'all know the drill. We're going to talk about fantasy football for 5 short and sweet minutes. My matchup went up against Jordan Clark. I thought I was beat. Thought I was done. Between New England getting 28 points on defense, Tom Brady with 21, and Christian McCaffrey with 19, I thought I was finished. However, 164.5, yours truly, to 108.5 for Jordan Clark. My team came out to play. Lamar Jackson with 30 points. James Conner, 26.5. Carson, 23. Tyreek Hill coming back, looking strong, doing backflips in the end zone. 22.5 points with 2 touchdowns. Austin Hooper, 21. It was nice to have a good performance this week. You love to see it. Let's look at the next matchup. Luke versus Logan. Sharknado taking the victory. 125.5 to 83. 83 is a weak showing, Luke. Sorry. You got to have some more production. You got to have some. Patrick Mahomes with only 18. Melvin Gordon with 5.5. Derrick Henry with 2.5. Do you have any running backs? Michael Thomas did get you 12. Looking at the bench, though, Diggs with 38.5. 7 receptions for 167 yards and 3 touchdowns. 38.5 points. Carlos Hyde, the truth in Houston, 16.5 points, 116 yards, and a touchdown. That's with the fumble. Should have started both of those players, but you can't do nothing about it now, and that's fantasy. And if you don't love fantasy, then fuck you.
There it is.
Pillow Fighters versus Juju on the bench. Pillow Fighters 126, Juju on the bench 104. Deshaun Watson with 29 points. Freeman with 24.5. Not a lot other than that. Some very average scores. Hopkins with 11.5. Matt Ryan did get 30. He can throw the ball a little, I guess. He's trash, though. Ezekiel Elliott, them Cowboys. How about them, Luke? How about them Cowboys? 22.5 points for Ezekiel Elliott. They lost to the Jets, if I can remind you. Leonard Fournette with 14. Amari Cooper, a whole half point. George Kittle, though, bright spot at the tight end with 14. Looking at the benches, not a whole lot. Oh, Williams got 21 sitting on the benches, running back. That could have helped you a lot, Twan. Next matchup we're looking at, I got a Chubby Dak versus Team Diggins. Diggins, will you please get a fucking team name? How boring is Team Diggins? God have mercy. I got a Chubby Dak, 128.5 to 94. That Saquon injury's really hurting right now, Diggins. Dak Prescott got 18. Once again, Cowboys lost to the Jets. Nick Chubb with 25.5, 122 yards and 2 touchdowns. McLaurin managed to get 24 against the Dolphins with 2 touchdowns and 100 yards. Mark Andrews got you 10. Looking at the other side of the ball, Carson Wentz, 20 points. Dalvin Cook only with 12. Brown with 4. I thought that might have been a little bit of sketchy pickup there, but you live and you learn. Looking on the bench, there's not a whole lot going on. We'll move on to the next matchup. Final matchup. Forrest versus J-Bell. J-Bell, I thought Logan was having a rough time, but boy, you're having a real rough time now. 89.5 for you. Forrest with 135.5. The silent killer. Is Forrest alive? I guess he sets his lineup because he put Kyler Murray in, and he got 28 points. Miles Sanders, 15.5. Julio Jones with 14, Edelman with 15.5, and oh, Godwin, 20 points. That boy gets it done every week, it seems like. That Denver defense got him 20 as well. Tennessee struggling, they suck ass. Oh, Jared Goff, you love to see it. 1 point, 1 point. That's 1 point for 78 yards. And Kamara with 9.5, and he's looking hurt. That number 3 pick, I believe, or number 2 pick. Whatever you drafted, that's looking awful sketchy at this point. Mike Evans, though, with 15.5. Kerryon Johnson with 12. Let's look at the benches. Not a whole lot going on either side. However, Golden Tate did manage to get 19. That would have helped it be closer, but it's over at this point. That's been 300 seconds. My name's Scary Harry. As always, if you don't love fantasy, then f*** you.
All right, Scary Harry.
Scary Harry, bringing the truth, man.
Yeah. We appreciate you, man. He needs a glass of water in the middle of.
Is it just me, or did Scary Harry sound like he took a trip to South Alabama instead of Turks and Caicos or wherever the hell he went to on vacation?
Tahiti or Trinidad.
Trinidad, yeah.
Not Turks and Caicos. Trinidad. Yeah,
it sounds like he's developing a little bit of a South Alabama accent, is what it sounds like.
Hey, he sounded real energized this week. And I got to say, Scary Harry, I appreciate you going easy on me this week. I was a little worried what you were going to say about our matchup, but you took it easy on me.
Yeah, Diggins does need a team name. He's been Team Diggins for like 3 years now. But, all right, well, we appreciate your time. We appreciate the call, as always. Let's get into these a little bit more. We can talk about the first one off of here for just a second because, my goodness, Scary Harry himself, Hayden's team is just – this was the week. I mean, they just exploded, like he said. He's got 4 or 5 guys with over 20 points on his team.
Yeah, I mean, even if my team played to the potential to play the last 5 weeks before this, I mean, I'm peaking around 150 – points, so even then he probably would have beaten me. I was really, really like he was worried. I was really confident, obviously, after the Thursday night games coming in Sunday with 58 for sure. points, and I was really hoping I'd get this win because we're coming into the bye weeks. McCaffrey's out this week, Cup is out next week, so it's gonna be a little t- tougher stretch for me. So I was like, man, if I can go in 5-1, it'll be a little more room to lose a couple during those bye weeks. But yeah, I mean, he just had a great week. Tyreek Hill had to come back this week. That's helped him out a lot. But
the Rams killed you, honestly.
Yeah.
I know Joe Mixon had a low week, but your team still performed really well, except for your explosive week from Cooper Kupp. And whenever Cooper Kupp has an explosive week and scores a lot of touchdowns, you got Greg Zuerlein down there that usually gets you at least, you know, averaging 9 points or so a week.
Right.
And so that, I don't know that that would have secured a win for you, but I mean, it would have made things a whole lot better.
Yeah.
That game was just awful. Something's got to change over there. Nobody's getting it done. But you starting Courtland Sutton? Curtis Samuel this week?
I don't think I am. Strictly because...
You make it in the lineup?
No. Oh, he's on bye week this week. Yep, that's why I'm not. Okay.
All right. Ooh, then.
Should have last week, though.
Uh-oh. That's bad. Oh, no.
I didn't see it happen, but I saw what Sleeper said.
Pat Mahomes
is hurt.
Is about to be carted off the field.
Oh,
it doesn't look good.
Oh, no. That's Madden curse? It's real, dude.
Curse is real.
It's real.
All right, he is not being carted off the field. He is walking down the sidelines.
Tom Brady survived the Madden curse.
Yeah. Who had it last year?
It was either last year or the year before. It was Tom Brady, but I can't remember exactly.
Okay.
Man. All right, he's walking with no help.
He's right walking now. Fine.
I think it's his ankle again.
Matt Moore. What you got, Matt Moore?
A handoff to Damian Williams, probably. Nope, that's Darrell Williams.
Okay, let's talk about, since we're talking about Pat Mahomes, let's talk about Luke. Luke and his running backs. I feel you, Luke. I'm in the same situation in the low running back area. Pat Mahomes struggling with that.
I mean, Hayden's got to have some sort of foresight, because we were kind of giving him a hard time for trading away Pat Mahomes, and it has been in his favor big time.
Those were some big boy moves
that
Pat Mahomes, that he made, not Pat Mahomes, that Hayden made. But so think about this. What's one thing last year that Kansas City had for most of the season that was an explosive part of their offense?
Like one thing or one person?
One person. Basically a thing. Kareem Hunt.
Yeah.
This running back by committee.
It's not working for him.
I can see that.
It's not working.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that Kareem Hunt, that it's all because Kareem Hunt's not there. It's just this new system that they've got happening. And I don't know.
Wasn't it Kareem Hunt and Damian Williams last year to start things out?
Or no, it wasn't. It was was Charkandrick West there?
Charkandrick West.
I think Williams kind of finished off the season.
Yes, Williams finished.
Because that's why he came in a little high ADP-wise this year. But
yeah, Kareem Hunt was done before the season was over. But they still ran the same type of offense, I'm seeing the point now where they're helping him off the field. Oh, that sucks, dude. I hate to see that. Now it really sucks for him without him. I don't think it's a major injury unless it's like an ACL tear or something. You can still walk with that, but ugh. Anyway, so that's my thoughts with that situation is I think that that's what's missing. I think that they need just a power back to open things up.
Maybe this will open up a lot of the NFL's standards now on running backs. Where you'll start seeing it kind of go back to the old style where teams look for a power running back versus two or three guys that do well at – okay at running the ball, but catch the ball a lot more.
I think the only thing that goes against that is just the is player health, which isn't a bad thing. But, you know, a lot of the reason we have so many running back committees is you don't want to rely on one running back, especially power-wise, because, I mean, they'll be done in two or three seasons.
Yeah.
Just because of the wear it takes on their body. It's just different than it was a decade ago even. So I don't know if we'll ever get back to true, you know, power running back style like that. But
a lot of times it's just so easy to determine what play is about to happen, but just by looking at who's on the field.
Yeah.
And so many teams that have their, you know, they have their three down back, they have their passing back, and you just, I mean, you just know what's coming. So, I mean, if you look at Gurley and what Gurley was able to do, I mean, we look at the situation that he's in now, and now they're running a committee and it's not working, but they've sacrificed his health for their past success. So you're right. I mean, it's just, let's just play smash football again and stop passing the ball so much. And
I think a lot of the issue with Gurley goes back to college. I think he rushed back from his two knee surgeries that he had in college, and just the nonstop, like you said, the nonstop wear and tear on a guy that's already had two knee surgeries doesn't bode well whenever you go into the NFL, because there's in college play, you know, you might have three or four guys on defense that are really good, but on the NFL, you've got like 9 or 10 guys on a defense that are really good, no matter what defense you go up against. And whenever those guys are laying you out over and over and over, it brings the train off of its tracks, so to speak.
Right. Yeah. Also with Luke, Stephon Diggs with 38.5 on the bench. You didn't listen to Negrodamus, but I don't think I would have listened to him either. I heard him say that earlier in the day and was like, no. I thought it was a joke. Like, I didn't think he was actually being serious. I would not have played Diggs in this matchup. He was saying that because he has the foresight of the horrible Philadelphia secondary. So I'm guessing that that is where that's where that came from. But that sucks to see that down there. Other side of the ball for Logan. David Johnson showing out. That was a good game. 24 points. I think that he's on the up and up. He's got a pretty good schedule going forward. And maybe not. Next two games ought to be good. But Cardinals are doing okay. You guys see anything else here worth talking about?
Logan had the foresight to recognize that he only had one tight end that was getting ready to have a bye week here pretty soon. Went and picked up Hunter Henry as soon as he was cleared to play again.
After I'd already had him for all week and dropped him. Yeah.
And you just love to see, as the kids would say, you love to see what Hunter Henry did last week.
And Disley had got hurt too, so
yeah, and Disley's
yeah,
hurt.
Yeah,
it's
perfect.
Now, so
yeah.
Possible Achilles tear or whatever, it may be confirmed now, but
within that same realm of conversation, going back to Luke with Melvin Gordon, Hunter Henry's back. Hunter Henry is now the man, and Jordan, you've been a, I don't know if I'd say you're a Melvin Gordon fan, but you've been a previous Melvin Gordon owner.
Yes.
For
I like Melvin Gordon a lot. It's just the second game back after sitting out for, you know, the season so far. I think he'll be fine. I think he'll just take some time. He said this week he wants more touches. He said you can't produce a lot when you only get 8 touches a game. Luke, if you're listening to this, I have a trade offer that is out there right now. So take it. Accept it. I am willing to risk, or not risk, but at least take a chance on Melvin Gordon. Hunter Henry is back. He is the man, but Keenan Allen was doing well before. So I think it'll still be kind of shared between them two, and this still helps take off the pressure of a running back, whether they do go with Gordon or Eckler more or equally.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So who are you throwing out there?
I have offered him Joe Mixon.
Okay.
Which, hear me out on Joe Mixon. Obviously,
Plead your case.
Okay, so I can't drop him. You can't drop Joe Mixon. You just can't do it. If he's getting 0 points a week, you just got to bench him. You can't drop him. But schedule coming up is getting easier. A.J. Green is going to be back hopefully within the next two or three games. Once that happens.
Yeah, I mean, he's potentially back next week. I don't think he'll be here this week.
He's not here this week. Maybe next week. So when he comes back, that helps alleviate some of that pressure. Joe Mixon he's a great running back, but golly, the offensive line is just terrible.
Right.
So that doesn't help my case at all. But I've offered up Joe Mixon, and I've offered up Curtis Samuel. 2-for-1 trade for Melvin Gordon. I could be completely wrong. Melvin Gordon could just be out of sync the rest of this season. And if that's the case, I'm not going to be doing much worse than I am right now with Joe Mixon. I don't know.
I think that's a great trade. Yeah. The fact that you're throwing Cortland Sutton in there.
Curtis Samuel.
Or I keep doing that.
It's Cortland Sutton, this, Curtis Samuel.
It's the same letters, yeah. Whatever. Whatever. The fact that you're throwing him in there makes it a sweet deal. If that were me, I would take that deal. Is it smart to take that deal? I don't know. Joe Mixon has a couple of tough matchups, but he has more good matchups than tough matchups going forward.
Yeah.
He also has a bye week coming up. So I am more on the side of Curtis Samuel in that trade than the Joe Mixon side. I would be excited about having him.
Right.
Who all was in the trade that you offered me, Jordan? I know it was the same people. It was Joe Mixon and Curtis Samuel. But who did you try to get from me? I don't even know.
Philip Lindsay. I looked at everybody's team and looked at what running backs they had and was trying to find one I could pair Joe Mixon and a receiver with for that one running back. So I offered you that trade for Philip Lindsay, which I wasn't – if I was kind of, that was the one I'm like, if you decline this, it's okay because I wasn't certain about it. And then I offered Logan for – let me look at his lineup. Mark Ingram. I was trying to get Mark Ingram from him. I think I might have – I don't think I sent Jay Bell a trade. Everybody else I looked at, and I was like, yeah, they wouldn't get rid of that person. Maybe Aaron Jones or Marlon Mack, but
that's tough. You're in a similar situation that I'm in with Sony Michel, where I've tried to shop around Sony Michel and OBJ at the same time just to get an RB2 out of that.
Yeah.
And it's tough. I've just got to hang on. Nobody wants them. So, but... where are we at here? Matchup next one. Colton, you and Diggins. Nick Chubb, 25.5. Scary Terry. Not Scary Harry.
Absolutely hate that Chubb is on a bye week this week whenever I'm playing Antoine.
Yeah. That's rough.
Because that is a consistent 20-point man right there. At least 20-point. And that's 20 points that I'm going to be missing this week.
Philip Lindsay's not doing a lot for you right now either. But Will Fuller dropped 2 touchdowns.
Yes.
In that game.
I'm still. Will Fuller is not in the danger zone.
Not just 2 touchdowns. 2 huge touchdowns.
Yes. Will Fuller is not back in the danger zone. He's not on the drop list anymore. After seeing week 5 and then him being targeted for 2 touchdowns in week 6, the first drop, I totally understand. He was backpedaling into the end zone.
That was a hard catch to make.
Landed flat on his back and coughed the ball up. That's understandable. The second one, however, there's a case that could be pleaded for it. If I remember right, he stretched out his left hand, actually got the ball on his hands and was coming in to secure it, and the defender pretty much knocked it out. That's got to be quicker hand work by him. But the fact that he was targeted for 2 touchdown plays after the big week that he had the week before, I think it still shows that Deshaun Watson likes throwing the ball to him. If I would say it's close to equal on him and DeAndre Hopkins. The thing is that Hopkins has just got way better hands.
But Hopkins, here's what's happening with Hopkins. Hopkins is getting, he's in the short game now. Hopkins hasn't gone deep. Will Fuller's the deep guy.
Yeah.
Hopkins has been just doing like all check downs and like little slant routes. He's getting tons of targets. He's getting way more targets than anybody else. But it's all just little bitty gains. And he hasn't had a lot of yards after the catch.
That comes back on what he's able to do, because with him being DeAndre Hopkins, he's getting the higher coverage. So whenever he's able to get open on a, you know, 6 or 8 yard slant pass, then he, you know, Deshaun Watson's taking what the defense is giving him. Whereas with Will Fuller, you know, he's not drawing as much coverage, so he does have the chance to break away and get, you know, these wide, or not wide open, but these deep shots. I hope that some of the deep shots keep coming,
He'll hit. You will see a similar game this week with Indianapolis, similar secondary.
Yeah.
I think you'll see a lot of the same stuff, and I think that one will hit this week. I'm hoping that Hopkins will get a little of that too.
The one guy that I'm on the fence about this week is, and I know we're not talking about week 7 matchups yet, but the one guy that I am on the fence with is Terry McLaurin. I just, man, that defensive matchup against the 49ers scares me to death.
He has a tough schedule going forward with the 49ers, Minnesota, Buffalo, and then a bye week.
Yeah.
I think that you are happy. I mean, he'll be fine rest of season.
Yeah.
You got Philadelphia and the New York Giants in the playoffs, so there you go.
Yeah, but if I'm in the playoffs for the Diggy Bowl, it's not really going to matter. But
I mean, it'll help you keep you from getting the Diggy.
He may be what keeps me from getting the Diggy this season. If that's the case, I'll take that from a rookie wide receiver.
Take it, man. Okay, but yeah, he had a great game this week against Miami. So, dig inside of the ball. Josh Gordon, that was that Thursday night game. That sucks. And he's hurt this week.
Yeah, so. He probably won't even play.
Again, burnt by the Rams. Malcolm Brown with Gurley out.
Scary Harry had said that when on the phone call, he thought that was a fishy pickup, but I was gunning for it too because I really thought, okay, first of all, let me backtrack. I spent freaking $41 on Malcolm Brown after the first week. That's chasing points, and that really screwed me up there.
Yeah,
biggest waste of money. And so I dropped him, and then Todd Gurley's out, so I'm thinking, oh, crap, let me try to pick him up. I think I bid 12 or 17. I can't remember. It was one of those two figures, but Diggins bid the same amount and beat me.
Diggins bid 11, so you must have bid 11.
11, yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking he was going to have a pretty decent game. But yeah, he really didn't.
I don't think it was a sketchy play at all. I thought it was a great play. It should have been a great game for Malcolm Brown. It should have been a great game for the Los Angeles Rams, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
And that burned everybody. Several teams. we'll get into that next one next. But just a low scoring game across the board here. The Barkley, having Saquon Barkley out has really hurt him. Two backs he could have been throwing in there have been on bye weeks. I mean, this is just a tough week for Diggins. Yeah,
this was worst case scenario for Diggins, best case scenario for me.
Right.
I wouldn't say best case scenario for me as far as my team goes, but best case scenario for me as far as playing him with so many players injured and on bye weeks.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And he's got Chase Edmonds on the bench with David Johnson in the game, still getting 13 points. So that's – I don't even know if he still got him on his team. He may not. But Latavius Murray would be a good play this week with Kamara down. Let's talk about that. Jay Bell versus Forrest. The Rams burned again. Jared Goff, 1 point.
Oh, man, that hurts.
Dude, I guess, 78 yards.
I guess he had a couple interceptions or something, because 78 yards it would normally be at least a few points.
He had a fumble.
Okay.
He had a fumble.
So what is it? A point per 25 yards or a
25.
Point per 50?
So that would be 3 points. And then, yeah.
And then loss of two with the fumble.
Yeah.
Yeah. God, that sucks. That makes sense. I think you're going to see a bounce back game from the Rams and just Jared Goff in general this week in Atlanta.
Oh, yeah. Really hoping so, Cooper Kupp has a big show.
Yeah. Yeah. That should be better. Aaron Jones, a dud. Was there an injury there? Or, oh, no. Jamal Williams is back. That's why Aaron Jones is a dud.
Yep. And he had 20 something points himself. Yeah.
This is committee bullcrap, man. Here we go again. Kerryon Johnson had a good game with a touchdown. Really not a great game, though. Just that touchdown saved him. But
yeah.
I wish Jay Bell was here tonight because I'd like to know the plan going forward because some of this looks kind of grim.
Well, I think he's got a much better quarterback now.
You're welcome from you.
I think Kerryon Johnson is still a good play. Aaron Jones,
yeah.
It's hard to tell, like you said, with the splitting carries with Jamal. But Marlon Mack, he's off his bye week now, so he should be able to produce some.
AJ Green will be back soon.
Mike Evans and Lockett, they're good receivers. They're just kind of ebb and flow. And Kamara, obviously, who would have saw this season for Kamara so far, you know?
Yeah, just the Saints.
I don't know. I think his team looks better than his record, but it's a rough go. He's 1-5, but I don't know. It's just a bad luck, man.
He's back on Jay Bell watch again.
Yeah. I was trying to say something positive, but I just don't know what to say.
It's tough. It's a tough time.
I mean, I honestly thought that things were going way better for Jay Bill. And then, once I was determined that I was just going to lose out the entire season, and whenever I was 0-4, I was just kind of looking around, and I saw that Jay Bill had also lost. I think at that point he was 1-3, and I was like, oh, things are also not going great for Jay Bill.
Yeah, there's a few teams there.
I mean, I was envious of his one win at that point, but
yeah.
I think that Jay Bell's team can turn it around.
Oh, absolutely.
Tevin Coleman is now the lead back in San Francisco. Kerryon Johnson is still on the up and up. Lockett's great. He's got AJ Green coming back. Aaron Jones. I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know about Aaron Jones with Jamal Williams there. Is Jamal Williams, to use the metaphor, is he the hot towel? From the discussion earlier in the week, what was the argument that the hot towel is one that, or not the hot towel, the soft towel, not a hot one. What's better, a soft towel or a
hard towel?
Or a hard towel? What's
I totally forgot about that. I thought you were going back to whenever I said something about throwing a hot turd out of the window.
No. This is the soft and the hard towel now, and I think that judging by the discussion earlier in the week that Jamal Williams meets criteria for the soft towel.
I would say with the way he's playing, he meets the criteria for a hard towel.
Depends on what you like.
For me, he would be the soft towel because I prefer soft towels.
But if you see, I'm going to go with what Jay Bill said. You know, I like that washcloth to kind of feel like sandpaper.
Well, the washcloth I agree with, but if I'm drying off with a towel, not cleaning myself, drying off, I want it to be soft and absorbent.
100%. I'm there with. I want it warm. I want it soft. I want just one wipe and to be totally dry.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that and so Jamal Williams there soaking up all the carries. He's the
as a soft towel.
Soft towel of the week. All right, Forrest, what is he doing? He's got the entire Tampa Bay team. You know what? We skipped something earlier.
We did skip it.
Boy, have you lost your mind? Because I'll help you find it.
Forrest. Why do you have three quarterbacks on your team? This is This is getting a little ridiculous.
I gave a whole speech earlier about not liking to roster two, so I traded one. And then Forrest is in year three, and they're not even three great quarterbacks. Or they're three, like, like, you know, could be good some weeks, could be bad some weeks. I don't know.
I would classify them as three streamable quarterbacks.
Exactly.
That's what I would classify. Yeah. There's no point to hang on to them. I mean, I guess you could scoop up some more Tampa Bay Buccaneers and put them on your bench, but I don't see the reasoning. It's as bad as the three tight end set. It's just as bad.
It's as bad as the three tight end set. Thank you for the callback.
And you've got Kyler Murray, and Kyler Murray has been great and is going to continue to be great. You got a bye week in week 12, so why?
Yeah.
Whenever Tampa Bay's bye week hits, he's going to have half of his
That's roster. This week.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, that's why his bench is just full of Buccaneers right now. But it was a tough boneheaded decision this week, but looking at that, I mean, it's a big old why. And I just hope and pray that Jay Ajayi gets rostered by someone. He's had Jay Ajayi on his team.
He drafted him, didn't he?
I don't think he drafted him.
He didn't draft him. He picked him up like week one or week two. Because I kind of had the same idea. I'm like, man, you know, because at that point, I think he was still rostered by the Eagles.
No, okay. This is the transaction history for Jay Ajayi. You ready? Drafted 139th by Forrest. Dropped to waivers by Forrest. Dropped to waivers on September 12th by Forrest. Added to waivers on September 25th by Forrest. Dropped to waivers on October 9th by Forrest. Added to waivers on October 12th by Forrest.
All right, so let's lump that in with the bonehead move of the season so far. I swear I remembered him saying something at the draft. Be like, I'm going to pick him up in case he gets picked up by somebody.
Boy, 500 IQ play if Jay Ajayi gets rostered by somebody. Anybody, actually.
Yeah, so. Anybody. At this point, I think there's several NFL teams that could use him.
Right.
Old Brokeback Ajayi. There's your callback to last year.
He was very broken. He's broke ACL is what he was.
Well, he also had that back contusion, right, or whatever, where his spine was compressed, whatever was wrong with him.
Right.
He shrunk 3 inches.
Forrest, you had a good week. You Tampa Bay boys came through. Ronald Jones with his 10 yards and a touchdown for 7 points. So Keenan Allen has been incredibly inconsistent.
Yeah.
So I mean, you got to keep him. You got to start him. Welcome to that part of fantasy football.
Welcome to the Los Angeles Chargers.
Yeah. What do you do? I mean, what do you guys think about Keenan Allen?
Man, after he had a huge week against Houston, and then they played Miami, and everybody's thinking, oh, Keenan Allen is about to break fantasy records against Miami defense. And he scores 6 points. And he scores three against Denver and four against Pittsburgh. And so it's like, man, he peaked in week three. Who knows how he's going to be the rest of the season.
It's, you know, he is trending down. He went from wide receiver 9, 23, wide receiver 2 against Houston, 36 against Miami, 64 against Denver, and wide receiver 59 against Pittsburgh. So Cincinnati, Green Bay, Oakland, Kansas City. Good schedule coming up. But, I mean, good schedule before this. So
right, and then, like you say, Hunter Henry's back, so that hurts him in the sense that he won't be getting as many targets.
Right. So, I don't know, man.
His team definitely rode the success wave of Kyler Murray, Chris Godwin, Broncos defense, and Miles Sanders. I mean, Julio too at 14. That's
a good play.
Yeah. I mean, Julio's Julio. I mean, you never really know exactly what you're going to get, but you know it's, for the most part, going to be pretty consistent.
Yeah. Man, Kansas City defense right now is tearing up.
Yeah, is it too late for me to go drop the Chargers defense and pick up Kansas City? Because
and Kansas City's defense is not good, but they are just
they had a scoop score earlier.
all over the place right now. All right, last one was matchup of the week. Last week, I talked a big game. Me and Antoine, 126-104. So,
I was the only one last week that said you would win.
You were. You were correct. I pulled it off. The curse continues. Antoine only scored 104 points, the least amount of points that he scored all year. So, sorry about that, but I'm unstoppable.
Except for Hayden. If he would have played Jamal Williams in place of Juju Smith-Schuster, he could have got that win. And he said, every week, I'm putting Juju on the bench. And he doesn't, and he plays him.
And then he doesn't,
that was a mistake. This maybe we should have given him Bonehead Move of the Week.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe he deserves it. You know what?
Boy, have you lost your mind, because I'll help you find it.
There you
go. Double Boneheaded Move of the Week. And guess what? Juju is on the bench this week, because they got a bye week.
Right, you don't have a choice, so it lives up to the hype. But
Juju is finally on the bench.
I talked it up, but I was real scared.
I mean, he has a good team. It was just
he does, yeah.
Matt Ryan off week 30 points.
Yeah, I knew that, dude. I knew it. I knew that game was gonna be huge. I had tried to acquire Austin Hooper earlier in the week. To combat against that with Freeman. Luckily, if I hadn't had Freeman, then this probably wouldn't have gone my way. But anytime, like, I just basically canceled out Matt Ryan's points with what I got from Freeman. So I think that that's how I won. Because everyone else had pretty, actually, I mean, my team did the best that they've done all season. And without Evan Engram, who's been my top scorer outside of the quarterback.
I mean, you had 29 out of Deshaun Watson. That's great for a quarterback.
Yeah, and he's been in. That's the 2 weeks in a row now that he's had a great week. And I think going forward, it's going
to
be
him and Russell Wilson. Man, they've been the quarterbacks to have, and Matt Ryan's coming up.
Yeah, that Matt Ryan is good.
That's the sad part about it for the Falcons. Matt Ryan is playing great football, and the Falcons are what, like 2-3 now. 1-3, 1-4.
I don't know.
1-5. I don't even.
Matt Byron. Matt Ryan has been the number two quarterback on the past 2 weeks, and Deshaun Watson has been number one the past 2 weeks. So it's trending up for both of those guys. And then you've got Lamar Jackson. That's irrelevant to this conversation, but
OBJ actually showed up for you this week, though.
Yeah. I was happy about that. It gives me a teeny bit of hope that they come back, the bye and play in New England. So
he only had three guys not get you double digits. So your team overall performed pretty well.
And the only reason that Gerald Everett didn't get you double digits goes back to the getting burned by Jared Goff or getting burned by the Rams.
Gerald Everett was wide open for a 40-yard touchdown, and Goff overthrew him. Just wide open. And it was overthrown. I was livid. but, yeah, Ingram's back. Ingram is going to explode against Atlanta this week, or against Arizona.
Yeah, because Arizona can – if you go back and look at the good tight ends that have played Arizona so far. Yeah,
they're ranked the worst against tight ends.
They are horrible against tight ends. I mean, that was the week that T.J. Hockenson did good was against Arizona. And then Mark Andrews did good against Arizona. Every good notable tight end –
you don't have to go through them all. They've all done awesome.
Every notable tight end has had an amazing week or an amazing – game against Arizona.
Right. The Ezekiel Elliott also there towards the end of the game, man, when Dak rushed that last touchdown in, that would have probably done it for me too.
That was the only thing that sacrificed an 8-point fantasy day for me for Dak was him rushing that touchdown in, because he had literally 8 points before he rushed that in.
Yeah, I knew that was going to be Zeke and was pumped. Eckler didn't perform. Mari Cooper got hurt. All of the things I needed in my favor ended up going in my favor. So Antoine's bust of the year. Well, I guess if you ask him, he's going to say that it's been more than that. But looking at you, Logan, you're up next. Hope your team's ready to just implode on themselves.
I hope all right. that Antoine has another bust this week, because so far I'm the only one busting.
It's not looking good for you.
It's not looking great at all. I've stopped watching the game.
It actually looks really bad for you. Might actually, yeah. It's possible that you could get you could come in out of this game with negative points.
yeah, it's very possible.
So, all right, matchup of the week this week we've got the Jordan Bowl, Jay Clark versus Jay Bell. Currently with Jay Clark having a few points from Emmanuel Sanders. Projection scores is 107.5 for Jay Clark and 105.7 for Jay Bell. It's as it's been said earlier, it might be the pillow fight of the week.
It might be. Congratulations, Jay Bell. You are playing me on McCaffrey's bye week, so you will be spared that at least. Yeah, I'm hoping Sanders can. He's gotten some good looks first half. I'm hoping they come back second half. Maybe just throw him a touchdown, and I'll be happy. Get him in the double digits. Golden Tate should have a good matchup against Arizona. So it's weird. I have a completely different receiving core almost this week than I did last week. Cooper Kupp still in there. Should have a good game against Atlanta. You know they've Aaron Rodgers has been hyping up. How do you say this? Lazard. That's it. And he wanted. He wanted him to come in fourth quarter Monday night, and he did. Got him a touchdown. So I'm hoping that little connection continues. Hoping the Patriots defense continues to dominate. And he still has Kamara in on his side, and he may not play, so he might have to swap somebody in there. He could put Kerryon Johnson in, though.
I don't think that he's playing. But, Jordan, you have got your matchups this week are great. Across the board, really, other than Emmanuel Sanders and maybe Darren Waller, at the position, everybody is just trending up.
If I can win this week with McCaffrey's bye week, I'll be happy. Because that's the biggest worry for my season is he's my star player. So you don't want to play without your star player. But if I can win, I'll be good. I'll be good to go.
Yeah, Cooper Kupp will have a huge game. Atlanta allows what it looks like the 29th most fantasy points to a wide receiver, so that's good. Mixon, Jacksonville allows 27th most.
Yeah, man, for Mixon can have a good game.
Points to the running back, so I think that's good there. But yeah, I like your stuff. Let me look at Jay Bell here. Colton, what do you think about Jay Clark's team?
I think Jordan's team, Jay Clark's team. Got to get used to that. I think Jay Clark's team is definitely going to be the one that benefits the most this week from matchups. The only ones that are notable for me that would be big-time competition from Jay Bell. I think if it doesn't turn into the Jamal Williams show, Aaron Jones will be really good against Oakland. And I think that Tevin Coleman is, with his emergence that he's had so far for San Francisco, he's going to have a really big day against Washington.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree on Aaron Jones. I don't think he's going to have a good game. Oakland's defense has been pretty solid against the running back. And unless he, I mean, I think Jamal Williams might get the touchdowns. I think it's
possible. It's very true possible.
I think that Aaron Jones is a bust this week.
What I do hope is if they, I mean, Packers receiving corps is so injured right now. So if Rodgers is going to be throwing any touchdowns, it'll be to Lazard, which means I'm going to be getting the points on that end, which gets, receiver gets more than the quarterback. So hopefully that will even out. But I think it's I think points are going to be scored mostly by running backs, if at all. And Jamal Williams will probably take the lion's share of that.
Right. You know, you're playing against Jay Bell's playing against you without McCaffrey, but you're also playing him without Mike Evans and Greg Olsen.
That's true.
Which is a big Greg Olsen has had a couple of rough games, but those two guys are typically pretty big scorers and, you know, powerhouses for Jay Bell's team.
Yeah.
Tyrell Williams is doubtful to play. Ugh.
Yeah, he didn't play last week, did he? No, they were on bye last week.
He's gonna play the year. Jay Bell's gonna have to pick up a wide receiver off of waivers.
He's gonna have to do something.
Yeah, because he doesn't have anybody.
Because he traded two of them to me, and I'm starting them both.
Oh no!
You hate to see it.
You hate to see it, man. Ah, dude, I do hate to see it.
Because I was originally going to say, oh, no, he can just move a running back, you know, out of his flex spot and put a wide receiver in. Nope.
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 He's probably going to have to pick up, well, he could throw Kerryon Johnson in for Kamara, like you said. If you got bench spots, Jay Clark, I'd go grab some wide receivers off of waivers and play keep away.
The problem is there's not really any that are on the waiver because I've already been looking.
Yeah.
I've got three rostered wide receivers that are hurt on my team.
I feel comfortable letting him pick up any of these guys and not.
That's a good point.
Because the waivers have already ran, and what the little bit of sale items were there have been trampled to death.
I guess the safest play would be Kamara.
Yeah, maybe he can get the stacks that Aaron Rodgers can
throw. I mean, I guess that's the best thing, or Sanu. Ew. Gross. Jay Bell, man.
Sanu maybe this was shouldn't one have... of those emergency pickups for me whenever Will Fuller had his big day. So maybe he could do something for Jay Bell if needed.
Maybe this shouldn't have been matchup of the week. I've got to go with – I don't see any way that you lose this one.
Yeah, I don't either.
All right, well, I got a feeling, and it's not a good one. I think because this one looks so obvious is why I'm going to lose it. I think Jay Bell wins. I think my team scores its season low, not break 100, 99 tops. I'm cursing myself tops here. I just got a bad feeling.
So we're going the over/under for this matchup total is like 180 for.
Let's see. Yeah, we'll say if I don't score more than 99, let's say Jay Bell doesn't score more than 105. So we're gonna say 109 points or 209 points. Sorry.
I will take the under.
Or 204. I'm sorry.
You're gonna score more than 99.
Yeah, I would take the under on this also.
I'll take the over on Jay Clark scoring 99 though. Okay, so are we in consideration? Me and Colton, Jay Clark, you don't get a vote here. Yeah. But
things all of a sudden look even worse for Jay Clark now, because I did not notice that his
it looks real bad for Jordan.
Yeah, his two backup wide receivers, one is on bye and one is probably not going to play this week and probably not even next week. I don't know.
Yep.
I don't know when AJ Green comes back.
Well, I guess tune in next week to figure out which Jordan comes away with the Jordan Bowl. You guys just play each other once a year, or is that?
I believe it is just once a year since he's in a different division.
Yeah. Cool. Well,
we need to get our own little trophy. It's like a Jordan Bowl or something.
I don't know. All right, week six done. Moving on to week seven. Already looks bad for some people on this podcast.
It's terrible.
Closing out week six, what are your final thoughts?
final thoughts are Luke, accept the trade. Accept it.
It's a pretty good trade. Roll the dice. Colton, anything? How are you feeling?
Not good.
Okay.
Probably going to go back to drinking.
Okay. I will wait that can open for next week.
Yeah, because there may be a six-pack that gets open next week.
All right, we'll see about it. All right, well, that's going to do it for us, for me, for Colton, and Jay Clark. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.